One word summarizes the times we live in, and it is the word convergence. Learn what is converging and how next.
We are at a time when so many of these end time signs are actually converging, and yet the church is absolutely silent on this topic.
This is Understanding the Times Radio with Jan Markell. Jan meets today with Brent Miller Jr., producer of a new motion picture, The Coming Convergence. This film is about the signs leading up to what the Bible describes as the tribulation. The Bible foretells the end of days will be preceded by a sequence of global events that have never occurred before. But can this be proven through newly exposed geological and statistical evidence? A convergence of events has now been discovered that many believe finally prove the tribulation is about to begin. Jan will spend the next hour with Brent Miller to discuss why this movie was made and what Brent hopes to accomplish through it. To get the conversation started, here's Jan Markell.
How will the world end? This very debate has been saturated by endless views and opinions,
consumed within a sea of noise. For some, the topic is nonsensical. For others, the answer is clear, as millions look to ancient biblical prophecy as the answer to what lies in wait for humankind's fate. Regardless of what you believe, the very debate has seen a resurgence due to unprecedented global conflicts and instability. With this, however, comes new claims that the long-awaited convergence of prophesied events destined to trigger the end of our age is not only entirely real, but have finally begun.
And welcome to the program. We look at news, views, truth from a decidedly biblical perspective. Well, that little tease was to tell you that we're going to talk about one of my favorite topics this hour, the convergence. Let me explain. You've heard me use the term on this program repeatedly. It is the word convergence. I'm going to explain, and as will my guest, just what that means, because it's sort of the coming together of the predicted signs of the times. Now remember, Jesus chastised the religious leaders of his day for not knowing the signs of his first coming. Will the final generation make the same mistake? Now we're carrying a new DVD, and it's called The Coming Convergence. And here are some of the participants in this new DVD. Pastor Ray Bentley, Pastor Tom Hughes, Pastor Jack Hibbs, those are all Calvary Chapel, Douglas Hemp, Cade Hawkins, and Brent Miller. And I have the writer-producer on air with me for the hour, Brent Miller. Brent, welcome to the program.
Thank you, Jan. It's a pleasure to be here.
Thank you for making a thought-provoking film. Now, let me just say this. I deal with people daily who consider the topic we're going to discuss for the hour. They consider it an afterthought. It's of no interest. They mock the things that you and I hold dear, including the soon return of the Lord. Having said that, Brent, the last 20 years, and narrowing it down even more, let's say to the last 5-10 years, has revealed a stunning convergence of stage-setting signs. Now, you have produced a DVD. It's outstanding. And you refer to the 2,500 signs of the Lord's coming. Now, some of these apply to his first coming, some to the last days before the tribulation, and many that will unfold in the tribulation. This must have been quite a project.
Absolutely. It was in production for the last 2.5 years, and I viewed it as a follow-up to what was the number one prophecy film in the world in 2011, The Final Prophecies, which was watched by over 2 million people. And the prophecies that we're referring to, a lot of theologians estimate that there are roughly 2,500 prophecies throughout the scriptures as a whole. So instead of just focusing on the end times prophecies, we wanted to look at the pattern of prophetic fulfillment as a whole. And the reason why I want to do that, while we want to step back and do that, is because, as you mentioned, in the last 20 years, we've actually seen an unbelievable convergence of prophetic signs happening at a feverish pace, unlike anything we've ever seen for quite a while. And yet, the world is becoming anti-prophecy more than ever before. So we first have to recognize that there is a deepening, a division that is occurring between prophecy-watching Christians and the whole rest of the world. And this divide is deepening and widening between those that believe and those that think it's absolute nonsense. And we have to ask, why is that happening? If there is so much unbelievable evidence that is unfolding every day around the world, then why is this division occurring and deepening every day? And a lot of it has to do, of course, with global deception and events that we constantly see that are resulting in crying wolf, like Y2K, the Mayan calendar, the blood moons, all these things that we constantly see popping up, that the world, if you can put yourself in their shoes, the secular world sees prophecy not as a sequence of dominoes unfolding throughout millennia in biblical scripture, but they see it almost as just calling out a specific sign in the heavens, a specific date, almost like date calling. And they wait and see if this event occurs. Mm-hmm. It doesn't. And so you have this crying wolf effect of just prediction after prediction not coming to pass. Yep. And there's a misunderstanding that this is somehow related to Bible prophecy, and yet it has nothing to do with Bible prophecy. And this confusion is widening so much that even most Christians, because churches no longer teach eschatology, many Christians even avoid the book of Revelation these days, that even most Christians are now not understanding not only the importance of prophecy, but even how prophecy is intertwined within the scriptures themselves.
I'm going to a verse in Luke 21. When you see all these things begin to happen, lift up your heads because your redemption draws near. All these things. I think that would be the convergence. All these things begin to happen. Look up. Now, Brent, some of these, as I said in my intro, some are references to his first coming. Some are starting to appear now in before the tribulation period. But many are stage setting for the tribulation. A huge number of these signs actually take place in the tribulation. What's happening now is a run-up.
Right. Yes, absolutely. And again, that's a different kind of way where we are supposed to be viewing prophecy, that there is a foundation that's being built. But because due to a deepening misunderstanding of eschatology, a lot of Christians miss the signs. They miss what's happening right in front of our faces now. So if they miss it, how can you possibly expect the secular world to see or understand anything with any rational conclusion? If we look at the scriptures, God often uses natural events, kingdoms, kings, political situations to carry out his will constantly. Because of the deception with prophecy and date calling and these types of prediction, they're more like false predictions versus biblical prophecy. Mm-hmm. So we have many Christians that are looking for miraculous events to unfold, as it has to break the laws of physics to unfold, and they don't recognize or understand, because of the lack of teaching in the church, that prophecy is not just a single event that unfolds. It is a sequence of dominoes where a prophetic event cannot occur unless many previous events have already happened and come to pass. And that's why we see these incredible statistical results in every prophetic event that comes to pass. So if the tribulation period is real, to look at it from the other side of the coin here, if it's real, if these things are actually happening, then based on God's nature and how prophetic events have been fulfilled in the past, there must be the foundation for all the events that are going to be taking place in the tribulation period happening now and unfolding now. And so this is why not only do we want to lift up Christians that are not being taught eschatology to revive their hope that these things are real. You don't have to take it simply by blind faith. You can look at what's converging right in front of our faces, but also to have this be the most powerful ministry tool ever created to actually speak to the non-believing world. But if I can continue for a second, a lot of people say, well, why prophecy? So this comes from my own personal background. I come from what you would call the prove-it generation. Every single question, every statement that anyone ever makes can now be Googled in a moment. You can get the opinion of the world in moments now. So you have to address that kind of instant access to information across all generations and backgrounds and views and so forth. And so prophecy, because it is so interwoven throughout all the scriptures, that first we have to stop and ask, well, why does prophecy exist? It's something a lot of people don't ask. they just assume it's kind of like a predictive thing. It's very, you know, confusing, or it's this mystery, but, you know, why prophecy? Well, prophecy exists so that God can prove to us that he is God. We were never told to have blind faith. I think what a lot of Christians mean is that we have blind trust. But there is a reason for our faith. We weren't told to always have a response and reason for our faith of why we believe. And so God deliberately provides prophecies and fulfillments and reasons so that when we see these things unfold, that we know that he is he. We do that because we are very fallible creatures. We have a lot of doubt. We are very flawed in this manner. Not to be offensive, many Christians and people all over the world struggle with the idea of faith. And the reason why they struggle with it is because they have a lack of understanding and evidence. And so prophecy is one of those just absolute chiseled in stone things that God deliberately has intertwined throughout all the scriptures so that we can see these things prophesied when they were said to be prophesied. And we know that through actual secular research of when documents were discovered and when they were proven to be written, because other civilizations next door were rising at the same time and they reflected maybe a certain passage that was written at the time, as we see with Isaiah. So we know they were written when they were written, and we know that these events unfolded with unprecedented accuracy. So when you begin studying the history of prophetic fulfillment, you see results in statistics where it is absolutely impossible for these things to have happened simply by chance or on their own.
Sure.
Cannot happen. It actually proves that the source of the information is divine. That is why we have prophecy. It's
right.
To lift us up. So the whole point of prophecy is that it does prove that God is God. And if you can prove to the secular world that prophecy is real, you've now presented something which they almost cannot argue with.
Well, having seen the DVD, and folks, we're carrying it, The Coming Convergence, I would say a lot is in there that you can't argue about the facts, quite frankly. Again, participating in this film, some familiar voices, Pastor Ray Bentley, Pastor Jack Hibbs, Pastor Tom Hughes, Cade Hawkins, Doug Hamp, and others, and Brent Miller is the writer-producer. He's on the line with me from California, and his father's in the film, as a matter of fact. And Brent, you cover a lot of, let's just say, markers. You talk about some of the things that are going to be coming upon the world. The worldwide economic system is going to change. The worldwide religious system will change. Worldwide political bureaucracy. Worldwide turmoil. You talk a lot about natural disasters, that they're more frequent, they're more intense. The New World Order, I want to go there in just a minute, a call for peace and safety. Some framework must be in place if we are this late in the game. You talk about that. These things are to happen in quick succession if we are so late. Now, you raise in the film a fascinating topic. Is the New World Order, is this just a conspiracy theory? No, it's outlined in the Bible. And I want to play a short clip from the film. And it talks about this forming sort of global system that is going to take place. I believe it's going to be after the rapture, the church is gone, etc. And then we'll comment on it.
But if we are living in the last days, then there must be radical political change occurring right now. And surely, a superpower like the United States, which is heavily involved in world affairs, isn't partaking in such an agenda. If that's what you think, well, you would be wrong.
One of the greatest overseeing authorities that you can have today is who controls the internet. Because whoever controls the internet controls and can limit what you say. Now keep in mind that almost all business transactions on the entire planet are internet-based. So whoever controls the internet directly or indirectly controls the world's economy. So this is one step away from global financial control.
The United States is often referred to as the father of the internet. And since its inception in the late 1970s, the U.S. has virtually monopolized the development of all new web-based technologies, and for the most part, defines and controls the technology and laws that govern banking systems, financial transactions for all web and retail-based business, and permits freedom of speech, which is protected under the U.S. Constitution. One would think that a nation with such influence over the internet would continue to retain as much control as possible. But through behind-closed-doors discussions between the U.S. government and outside influences, the United States has recently decided to give up that control to a private organization called ICANN, which most believe will be influenced by globally cooperating and overseeing authorities like the UN.
And we have just handed all of our authority to another party. Why would the United States hand over that kind of control to another entity? It probably makes sense to the governments of the world. See, the governments, they look at our trends. They look at the financial problems. They look at everything from a global perspective. They look at nations, economies going up and down. They see terror. They see all the problems that us people don't pay any attention to. It's more certain than not that they have already concluded a while back that there is no hope for all the individual nations of the world individually being sovereign. They must cooperate in order to solve these problems. So when we see that the United States has transferred all control over the internet, including all the financial information, to another entity, it doesn't make sense to us, but it makes sense to the world authorities who are now merging, because it can't be merged overnight. It's being merged in slow incremental values so that in the end, it's a very easy transition for the average citizens on Earth to accept. But I believe this has been in the works for quite a while, but they're not doing it because it was prophesied. It was absolutely prophesied. They're doing it because it's the logical thing to do to take care of the citizens of Earth.
And what of the freedoms of Americans regarding free speech on the internet? Well, many believe a globally controlled internet will, of course, result in a globally controlled standard of what one can and cannot say online, all in the name of global stability, of course.
Essentially, what has happened is that the United States gave away the ability to control the free speech of the American citizens. This is nothing but one step away of censorship, where we could be, in the future, controlled by another authority. They will tell us what is allowed and what is not allowed. In other words, if your actual speech is no longer under the control of the laws of your country, it's moving toward a one-world government.
Brent Miller, I just don't think 99% of, certainly of Americans, understood the significance of the giveaway of the internet back in October of 2016.
Absolutely.
It's a huge, huge loss. It's a huge loss to the free world. Now, it may have been given to the United Nations. I'm not sure who it's ultimately going to end up with. But it's, as your clip and your film indicates, it's setting the stage here for the one world government.
It absolutely is. In fact, I would argue that it is part of the foundation that a one world government is already here. And it's based on perspective. Again, we're all becoming desensitized to sensationalized headlines and conspiracy theories. Another reason why the non-believing world laughs at all of this, because it's not being presented to them correctly, because Christians don't know how to actually communicate to the non-believing world, their friends and their family, their loved ones, that look at them as if they're crazy when they talk about things like the New World Order. Well, that's just a conspiracy theory. In 2008, we saw the first term where they mentioned a one world economy. And yet, we never really saw that coming. There was no day where I woke up and saw the headlines, one world economy born. It's something that did evolve and happened over time through necessity, and no one really recognized it as such, not even Christians. And yet, it is very biblical. And we see the exact same thing unfolding with a new world order. There isn't going to be a day where you wake up and see new world order born and everything is going to change. It's going to be almost invisible through political and economic change.
Going to tell you how to get a hold of this DVD when I get back, folks, in my next segment. Talking to Brent Miller, writer-producer of the new DVD, The Coming Convergence. You hear that term on this program all the time. This particular film puts it all together back in just a couple of minutes.
We know you're enjoying today's broadcast featuring film producer Brent Miller Jr. We also know Brent's new film will inspire and challenge you to continue to live for our Savior in these perilous times. Olive Tree Ministries is carrying Miller's DVD. You can order it at olivetreeviews.org or by phoning 763-559-4444. This video is an excellent way to start a conversation with someone about Christ. Please consider using the DVD, The Coming Convergence, as a witnessing tool for the Lord. Again, order your copy in our web store, olivetreeviews.org, or call 763-559-4444. Remember, we are a listener-supported ministry. As you call or go online, please consider giving a gift. Your tax-deductible donations are also accepted by mail at Olive Tree Ministries, Post Office Box 1452, Maple Grove, Minnesota 55311. In just a moment, Jan returns with filmmaker Brent Miller. We are finalizing our 21st Understanding the Times Conference for October 7 at Grace Church in Eden Prairie, Minnesota, just outside of Minneapolis. Please consider joining us from 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. There is no cost or registration needed, but you need to make hotel reservations early. Meet believers from across America who take our time seriously but have a hope and expectancy many do not have. Our speakers include Amir Sarfati.
Thessalonians chapter 4, he says, the dead in Christ will rise first, and then we that are alive will be caught up in the air. In other words, he was completely sure it's going to happen in his lifetime. And that's the way we should live, as if it is going to happen at any given minute.
Dr. Mark Hitchcock.
And to me, that's a great picture of Bible prophecy for us. Knowing what's coming gives you peace of mind. And the Bible tells us that prophecy has a calming influence on our lives.
Pastor J.D. Farag.
That's not to be dismissive of the seriousness of what's happening in the world today. But thankfully, we have prophecy in the Bible that tells us not only what's going to happen at the time of the end, but why it's going to happen and where it's going to lead. And by the way, spoiler alert, we win.
Michelle Bachman.
These people don't give up. That's what we don't understand. That is everything for them, is their strategy to get to one world government. And they will do anything, including lawless actions, to get there.
Visit our website for details, olivetreeviews.org. That's olivetreeviews.org. Or call us at 763-559-4444. That's 763-559-4444. Helping you stay informed on issues that could change your life.
And every year at my annual conference, thousands come from across America to consider the converging signs. And most of those attending tell me that they have very few to talk to about such topics. They tell me that they're marginalized. Some are even mocked. Some are shut out of family, friends, whatever, whoever they're associating with. So is the end actually near? Many suggest that indeed it is near.
The Coming Convergence, a new film released on DVD and produced by Brent Miller Jr. That's the topic of today's Understanding the Times broadcast. Later in this hour, we'll repeat how you can obtain a copy of Miller's video. Once again, with Brent Miller, here's Jan Markell.
So if this is indeed what Jesus meant, then are we destined to repeat the mistakes of our past, like those that were caught unaware during the first coming of Christ around 2,000 years ago? Will the last generation today also be blind to the signs and warnings that surround us?
Jesus rebuked the Pharisees very sternly for not knowing the time of his visitation. So they should have known that. He says, look, you guys can read this, the sky to see if it's going to rain tomorrow, but you don't know the time of my visitation. That's why I think it's important that we do take the prophecies very seriously.
And that's what we are talking about for the hour, The Coming Convergence. You can find this DVD in my store, olivetreeviews.org, olivetreeviews.org. You can give us a call. It'll be in forthcoming print and e-newsletters. We're offering it for $20 plus shipping in the U.S., and I've seen it. I've actually seen it three times because I've shown it to various people. And Brent, and that is my guest, the writer-producer Brent Miller, is my guest for the hour. Others include Ray Bentley on the DVD, Doug Hamp, Tom Hughes, Pastor Jack Hibbs, Kate Hawkins. We talked a little bit during the break, Brent Miller. How does Donald Trump, because we're talking about the coming New World Order, which is another term for the coming One World System, and boy, this giveaway of the internet plays right. Most people so under it, they didn't even pay attention when the internet was given away. It was a huge story, huge story. How do you think Donald Trump fits into this?
That is a question that I'm asked quite frequently ever since the release of the film. And personally, I've heard a lot of Christians say that when he was elected that he would get the country back on a more conservative path, or at least, at the very least, delay the inevitable of the liberal agenda that's been on a fast track for the last decade. But we have to remember that God's plan, his sequence of prophetic fulfillment, is never, quote-unquote, delayed in his eyes. It's always the perfect timing. It always heads towards the conclusion that we know must be in prophetic fulfillment. And so Donald Trump, I do believe, is part of the entire prophetic sequence. And what we're seeing is, quite frankly, a backlash of the trying to take back hold of the conservative effort, whereas the world is almost unifying against this type of thinking, this type of conservatism, against Donald Trump. And if many ways, in the long run, could actually accelerate the liberal agenda as the pendulum swings way back over to the other side.
Yes. And I think that there's a major point made in this DVD, in this film, that I took away, and that is, and it's not particularly new, but I appreciated how it was inserted in and it tied your entire film together. And that is, there was going to be a happening, and it took place in 1948. It was the rebirth of the nation of Israel. And then we go to the verses. Let me go to one right offhand. Psalm 102:16, when the Lord builds up Zion, he shall appear in his glory. And a lot of verses, Brent Miller, talk about, a couple of verses anyway, about the generation that sees this happen, the rebirth of Israel. That's going to be sort of the final generation. Your film comes right out and suggests that this is the last generation, correct?
Absolutely. Absolutely, it does. And the reason why it seems to be so unprecedented, that the rebirth of Israel in 1948 is something that is statistically impossible. I don't think a lot of Christians really grasp how monumental it truly is. Because, first of all, you can't have a rebirth of a nation if it didn't collapse in the first place.
Right.
And the prophecies surrounding the rebirth of Israel precede the collapse in 70 AD. And so, and it's also an event that has never occurred in the history of mankind. We have never seen a time where people who have lost their land and integrated in the cultures all over the world, which was common practice, especially during the time of the Roman Empire, to eliminate the quote-unquote enemy culture, to integrate them. We've never seen a people come back into their original land with the language and culture in the history of the world. So the fact that this was prophesied and happened in 1948, 1,800 years after the collapse, in our generation, in this time where so many prophecies say that this is approaching the end of days, where even Christ said, look for these things that will be happening, where this is very, very close to the end, it can't be ignored.
Let me play a clip from your film again, and it's describing exactly what we're talking about, and how you cover this, I think, is just very, very excellent.
It was during Jesus' time in Jerusalem that his disciples came to him and asked about the end of the age. They knew that if he was who he truly claimed to be, the prophesied Messiah, then he could tell them exactly what was going to happen to the empires of the earth, including Israel itself. And according to the ancient records, Jesus answered them in shocking detail.
He has told us things that are going to take place at the end of days, at the end of this age. In fact, the disciples, when they asked Jesus about what will be the sign of your coming and of the end of the age? And he goes through and he starts to tell them all of these different things to look for.
And what Jesus foretold was not what they wanted to hear.
When Jesus was in Jerusalem, Jesus did not talk to the people about the empire growing, the nation ruling the world. In fact, one of the most frightening things that Jesus said to the Jews was not only that the destruction of the temple would happen, but that the Israeli nation would cease to exist. It would be scattered and destroyed.
Not only did Jesus provide details regarding the end of the world, speaking of concepts and global change taking place in the far future, but he also warned of events that would happen much sooner to the nation of Israel itself. He foretold of the complete destruction of Israel and the dispersal of the Jewish people to the four corners of the earth, a terrifying warning that most believed would surely never come to pass. But almost 40 years after Jesus' crucifixion, in 70 AD, the prophecy was fulfilled exactly as he said it would be. The nation of Israel fell by an invading Roman army, led by the future Emperor Titus. The Jewish temple in Jerusalem, a massive structure over 40 acres in size, was completely destroyed so that no two stones laid upon another, just as Jesus foretold. And more than 1 million Jews were slaughtered during the siege of the city. The small surviving remnant of the Jewish people were dispersed to the four corners of the earth. The nation of Israel was so decimated by military force that for all practical purpose, the Jewish bloodline was considered virtually dead. But following the structural rules of the prophetic timeline, there was much more to this prophecy. Decades before the destruction of Israel came to pass, it was also foretold that long after Israel would fall in the future, through utter destruction and displacement, the people would later be regathered into the original land and the nation would be reborn. In fact, Jesus himself, who often spoke in parables, gave such an example through the imagery of a dead fig tree coming back to life at the beginning of the end of days.
Well, there's a prophecy that Jesus gave. He says, learn the parable of the fig tree.
And he talks about how this fig tree, when you see it begin to blossom, that will be the generation that sees his return. A very, very significant statement. Most Bible scholars believe that imagery in the parable of the fig tree is symbolic of Israel. So Jesus himself is saying, when you see that fig tree budding, coming back to life, know that my return is near.
So understanding that the fig tree that Jesus was talking about is in fact Israel. And they say when it comes back, then it will be the last days. It will be the days of Antichrist.
Prophecy foretells that the end of days would begin with the rebirth of Israel. But of course, this event could never happen if the nation and people were not decimated in the first place, presenting more compounding evidence as to the complexity of the ancient prophecies. But if this sequence of events wasn't miraculous enough on its own, additional prophetic details regarding how the rebirth would be fulfilled is something that would leave anyone speechless.
In Ezekiel 37, you have the Valley of the Dry Bones, this picture of all these bones of the Jewish people that have been scattered and separated, coming back together as a nation.
That was not just the miracle of the 20th century. The rebirth of Israel, I think it's one of the miracles of all time. Even the language came back some 100 years ago or so. Brent, you covered that very well in the film. Again, the film is The Coming Convergence. You can find it in my store. You can give us a call. It'll be in my various newsletters. You did a wonderful job covering this particular segment. Another thing that you point out in the film is one of the spokesmen in the film says that most of the signs that DVD outlines, they take place in the tribulation, or a lot of them anyway. And of course, they're being built up to stage setting now. But they are so horrific. They're so horrific what happens in that tribulation time that if a listener is concerned about a loved one who may be left behind, that, you know, now is the time to take action, because you don't want anybody being left behind during that terrible, terrible time.
Right, and that really is the ultimate goal of this film, just to provide a little bit of insight, is that the majority of the Christian audience really wants information that they want to see and hear. That's why a lot of the Christian films you see in the theaters, and The Coming Convergence had a limited theatrical release, but a lot of the big-budget Christian films, it's fan service. You know, they're written for Christians, so Christians will love it and buy it, and that's really just the goals of the films. And don't get me wrong, a lot of the films I love. I think it fills a need out there, but there is a lack of producing high-quality ministry material that doesn't just cater to what the Christian wants to see, but actually provides what what the secular world needs to see and hear. And there is a difference, is that some people will look at some of this prophetic information we're discussing and say, well, of course, I know all of that. I know Israel was born in 1948 and these things have happened. This is nothing new to me. Well, the reality is A, can you actually prove that to a non-believer? Which is what this film does. It doesn't just make the statements. It proves that it's real and it's happening statistically and with evidence. But do you realize that most of the world doesn't believe anything was miraculous about the rebirth of Israel in 1948. Most of the world doesn't believe that a lot of the convergences that we see happening now are statistically impossible and were all prophesied. They don't understand it, and this is the majority of the people. Mm-hmm. So if a Christian who wants a way to learn how to communicate this prophetic information, to prove it to a loved one or a friend, the coming convergence gets the job done. That is the point of it.
Yes, and I think there's some discussion about, you know, just what is a generation? A generation could be anywhere from 70 years, even 120 years. And I think you make the point that it's probably an average to a maximum lifespan. And let's go back to 1948. And if the premise that you are stating is true, we're getting towards the end of that lifespan that began in 1948.
Absolutely, and that's another very interesting point, is that today we say an average lifespan is around 80 years and people don't live beyond 120. And that wasn't always true. Not that long ago, in the medieval ages, the average lifespan was around 35 years old. And so only a few hundred years ago, you couldn't say that a generation was 80 to 120 years if you were looking at it through a prophetic lens. So that's just yet another tidbit of information that proves that everything seems to be in place to fulfill the scriptures to the letter.
Again, folks, here are some of the categories the DVD covers. Talks about the worldwide economic system, religious system that's on its way, some of the stage setting going on there, worldwide political bureaucracy, the worldwide turmoil, the natural disasters. We already touched on the New World Order. We already touched on the rebirth of Israel. Let me just say this. If some of this is of interest to you, and by the way, I'm doing for my Twin Cities audience, again, for the rest of my stations, thank you for bearing with me, but I will be having this film available at my summer prophecy class in the Twin Cities. It's only in the Twin Cities. Anybody can get a CD. You've got to call my office to get a CD for the Summer Watchman on the Wall prophecy class every Sunday night, 6:30 p.m., starting first Sunday of June through every Sunday night in August at Kehillat Tzar Shalom. I'm renting the facilities of Kehillat Tzar Shalom in St. Louis Park, suburb of Minneapolis on Rhode Island. 6:30 p.m. to 8 p.m. There'll be a time of fellowship probably till 9 p.m. This is the former Twin City Fellowship Church. It then became Anchor Bible Church, and now it is Kehillat Tzar Shalom Messianic Congregation in St. Louis Park. I'm going to bring this DVD with me to make it available for all of you if you don't want to order online or order by mail or phone. And I hope to see some of you out to that class every Sunday night except July 4th weekend. So, Brent, I know you have tried to target some unbelievers in this film, and I think you do a good job of that, and you have an intriguing gal because the film seems to start in the beginning of the tribulation, am I right?
Yes, it does.
Explain that scenario.
Again, because this is a tool with real Hollywood-grade cinematography, we work with higher-budget productions and full film crews here at our California production office, is that we wanted to reinvent what a documentary could be. So if someone is expecting another, you know, dry, just, you know, a bunch of talking heads sitting there that friend or loved one might find a little boring, they would be very wrong. We do open up on the post-apocalyptic set with an actor whom we call Tribulation Girl, who's played by Erin Hawkins, an incredible actor. She did an amazing job, who basically represents waking up in the tribulation period. And throughout the documentary, she interrupts from the tribulation period, interrupts the speakers, interrupts the narrator to talk about how in reality some of the topics that are being discussed actually unfolded, like the global economic collapse and the rise of the Antichrist. And what she does is really provide the viewpoint of the secular world. She relates to the non-believer because she was a non-believer. And even during our theatrical premiere in California, which was a mix of ages and different backgrounds and religious beliefs, there were people weeping during the coming convergence, because not only did it do such a good job of proving the point that prophecy prophecy is real, and we are living at the end of days, but it connected to the non-believing audience so emotionally that it did open them up to actually listen to what was being said. And that's really the goal, is to bring down those walls that we all know that our friends and family and kind of the fence sitters, if you will, or even the straight rejectors, the non-believers, have, because they believe they've heard it all before. They believe, oh, I already know what it is that you're going to say. And this film puts a crack in that wall and kind of attacks it in a completely different way, using relatable emotion and apologetics.
When you see these things begin to happen, look up and know that your redemption draws nigh. When you see what things begin to happen, when you see some of these 2,500 signs, many of them already fulfilled, some in the first coming of the Lord, many more going to happen in the church age, and many, many more going to happen in the tribulation. And again, as I referenced a moment ago, some of the happenings in the tribulation, so shocking and so horrible. I'll say more about that as we go out of the program. And I think, Brent, what I'd like to do in my closing segment, I want to play a short soundbite when we get back. And it is of a pastor who's mocking all of this, who's mocking what you and I believe is one of the greatest evangelism tools known to man. And that's what we're talking about here, and that is eschatology, the return of the Lord, and all of the things that surround that topic. And yet we're going to hear a pastor who is going to, well, it's tragic, really, because he's so misleading his congregation. It happened to be posted on YouTube, so he's misleading tens and tens of thousands. And I will play that when we get back, folks. I'm coming back in just a couple of minutes. Don't go away.
One more reminder. You can order copies of Brent Miller's new video, The Coming Convergence, when you visit our web store, olivetreeviews.org, or by phoning 763-559-4444. This DVD is an excellent reminder of how the Bible reveals the signs of our Lord's coming will begin right before our Lord's return. Thanks to all of you who listen to Understanding the Times every week. We so appreciate all our faithful listeners who join us every week by radio or on the World Wide Web. Many of you have supported this broadcast financially since the beginning of the year. As we enter the summer months, we'll need many more of you to step up and help us stay on top of the high production and distribution costs incurred by this ministry. Please write with your tax-deductible gifts to Olive Tree Ministries, Post Office Box 1452, Maple Grove, Minnesota 55311. Donations are also accepted online at olivetreeviews.org or when you phone 763-559-4444. Jen will be right back right after this.
I have often called Understanding the Times radio, radio for the remnant. Around the world, people have had enough of fake news, slanted news, and evidence that good people are marginalized and unappreciated. That is why this program focuses on the truth and the ultimate good news. If you would like to keep it coming to your neighborhood, please consider a tax-deductible gift to Olive Tree Ministries. Give online at olivetreeviews.org, olivetreeviews.org. You can call us business hours, Central Time, 763-559-4444, 763-559-4444, or just drop us a note. If you can't financially support, let us know we make a difference in your life. Write to Olive Tree Ministries, Box 1452, Maple Grove, Minnesota 55311, Box 1452, Maple Grove, Minnesota 55311. Help us look at today, but with another eye on tomorrow and the ultimate hope that awaits us. What we have going on today is a convergence of signs outlined in the Bible. Just a few examples here that tell me we're in an actual countdown. I mean, in the last decade, Israel has been abandoned by every major nation on earth. Every nation is having the predicted distress with perplexity. Luke 21:25. Whether it's terror events, weather-related problems, economic meltdowns, lawlessness, political corruption, no nation escapes the distress with perplexity today.
Understanding the Times continues with filmmaker Brent Miller Jr. Now with our final segment, here's Jan Markell.
So why is it that millions of people all over the world still insist that the end is upon us? Are they naive or misled by skewed religious views? Or is there a deeper understanding, whispers of truth that have been buried in this generation that are so profound it would change the way we understand everything? But even if such evidence existed, its warnings will likely fall on deaf ears. Often, when one hears about biblical prophecy or the end of days, as it is found within ancient scriptures, such as the Book of Revelation or the Dead Sea Scrolls, many already have deeply ingrained preconceived notions. After all, haven't we heard all this before? Anything new would no doubt just be another claim regarding some astrological event or rare date as a harbinger for the end.
And welcome back. And I'm going to say a little bit more about the DVD as we go out of the program, but we're playing clips from it, The Coming Convergence, which we carry. We're not carrying a lot of products these days, folks, but I chose to carry this one. Let me just quickly say, all programming is posted to my website Saturday morning. If you miss the program, if you miss half the program, olivetreeviews.org, olivetreeviews.org. And we have the DVD posted there with a trailer. So if you're kind of wondering about it, you can go to our store and go to the product section, and you'll find the product with the trailer so you can get, but we've been playing bits and pieces of it. So the program is posted to my website on Saturday. You can get a CD of any ministry, become a CD subscriber. You have to call us for that. And look into my print and my e-newsletter, won't you? And follow us on Facebook, Jan Markell's Olive Tree Ministries. Now, let me go back to my guest for the hour is Brent Miller. And he is the writer-producer of the film, The Coming Convergence. And in the film would be Cade Hawkins, Pastor Ray Bentley, Doug Hamp, Pastor Tom Hughes, Brent Miller Sr., Pastor Jack Hibbs, Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills, California, and they make a great lineup. But Brent, I teased in my last segment, and you've got wonderful pastors in your film here, but we've got pastors who are, they are mocking and scoffing what we hold dear, and I'm sure you encounter this.
Absolutely, all the time.
Why don't we play that last clip, Larry? This is a pastor who I don't know exactly where he headquarters. I have no idea. I don't know him personally. Doesn't matter, but he represents probably millions of those who are teachers and preachers.
But they go to the New Testament also. And probably the most important verse for you to at least see today is this verse from Titus chapter 2, verse 13. Waiting for the blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the glory of our God and Savior Jesus Christ. Most scholars simply believe blessed hope and glorious appearing are the same thing. It's actually connected by the word and. But the dispensationalists, those who believe in the rapture, guess what they believe? The blessed hope is when Christ comes the first time, takes up everybody out of heaven, who are saved anyway, and the second time is the glorious appearing when he comes at the end of the tribulation. What I want to talk about and what I think our scripture today in Revelation helps us understand is that for many of us, especially Lutherans and those who read the entire scriptures and don't try to, you know, patchwork things together, is that we believe in a God that is very different from the rapture God. The rapture God wants to have people escape from earth, that somehow earth itself is bad. In fact, they will tell you that Judaism, Jews, have to reestablish the temple in Jerusalem, rebuild it. Of course, there's a little problem there because there's a thing called the rock upon which both Abraham sacrificed Isaac, it's believed, but also the rock from which the prophet Muhammad leaped off when he went back up into heaven. That's the place the temple's supposed to be built. They don't care. They're part of the Christian Zionist movement that says, well, you got to rebuild that at all costs, because until the temple's rebuilt, Christ won't come again. Who cares if there'll be wars upon wars upon wars in Palestine until that happens? It's simply their belief that Israel will be the cause for the return of Christ by rebuilding the temple. Again, nothing in the New Testament that tells us about that. And what's really interesting is this idea of being raptured, taken out of the world. If you listen to the text that W.J. read from Revelation today, it says God comes down to earth. The New Jerusalem, this gorgeous city, comes down to earth, and God's reign is established here on earth forever and ever. That's a totally different view than presented by the rapturalist. And what's interesting is, I really recommend, if you really want to look at the whole idea of how we got this rapture idea, Barbara Rossing, who was here a few years ago, wrote a great book called The Rapture Exposed, in which she wants to argue that the basic understanding of Revelation has been co-opted by the rapturist. They turn Revelation into a war book. They turn it into this deadly last 7 years of tribulation, and that God comes as a mighty warrior and destroys everything. She believes that that's wrong, that actually the book of Revelation is much more a book of hope, a book of love.
Oh, really? Well, I've got news for you. If you are left behind, what you're going to face is going to be so shocking and so stunning. I can't paint the picture here on radio. Go ahead, Brent, your response to this.
Where do you begin with
that?
Yeah,
I know. But it represents millions of church leaders.
Absolutely. It really does. And a lot of that is being echoed right now throughout the churches, which is why, just very briefly, we do see this widening division with understanding the fulfillment of Bible prophecy. Churches themselves no longer understand what it is that they're talking about. So how are their congregations supposed to? Now, it's the first time I've heard that clip, but the message is similar. And what I hear is, quite frankly, a little bit of truth mixed in with a lot of deception. For example, Revelation is really a book of hope and love. Well, there's horrible things that happen throughout the book of Revelation, but we are told that we are blessed by reading the book of Revelation. Mm-hmm. And the book of Revelation, in many ways, does have a lot of love and hope in it. It's the return of Christ. It's, you know, God's kingdom being established upon the earth. And one thing that I might note, that if you actually look at the unfolding events, the horrible events that do unfold throughout Revelation, it is almost, even at the very end, some theologians would say that because things continue to get worse and worse, is almost grace in itself by allowing man opportunity after opportunity to continue to repent, even as these things are poured out upon mankind, because, you know, God does love his creation. He loves us. And so he's mixing a little bit of truth in with deception, but that's how deception works. As far as there being no rapture, there is absolutely a rapture. There is so much biblical evidence, not just a verse here or a verse there, but I can even call out the Galilean wedding. When Christ spoke of coming back for his bride, the church being the bride, he was speaking to Galileans, and he actually used cultural understandings that they would, this is why we look to anthropology, cultural understandings that the people would understand at the time, and that would be the Galilean wedding and the Galilean wedding feasts, where the father, again, it's completely symbolic, where there would be a betrothal period where the bride would have to stay away from the groom would leave, the groom wouldn't know exactly when he could go get his bride, the father would tell the groom when to go get his bride, and it was usually in the middle of the night when people were sleeping or unaware, and that's why you would have to have oil. I could go on and on and on. The bottom line is that there are so many parallels to even culturally speaking that reflect the occurrence of the rapture. It is absolutely something that does occur. So it is sad that this pastor, it seems to be grossly misleading how people should look at and interpret the end of days. But again, is it really that surprising to you?
No, not at all. I just played it as an illustration. And again, he considers the rapture and the second coming to be one and the same. Many people do that. And he's robbed everybody of the blessed hope, because obviously in his interpretation, the church goes through that tribulation. And this pastor is just referring to the second coming as, and that is going to be a glorious experience, the second coming. It's just, we come with Christ. In the rapture, we go up and meet Christ.
Right. You know, and another sad thing that I hear is that if there is no blessed hope, and let's say you're a Christian and you just look forward to all of the horrible things that await during the tribulation period, then I would say, just based on culturally speaking in the West, you would then have millions of people that, for the sake of torture, martyrism, persecution, fear, would then comply with all the changes that are going to be unfolding politically and economically, not only now, but in their view, throughout the tribulation period, because obviously they quote-unquote have no hope. They're going to, you know, either you reject the coming policies and are martyred, and we know that there is going to be tremendous Christian persecution and martyrism even before the rapture. We're already beginning to see it. But then it creates a sense of fear where you have to comply or die. And I think many Christians, when it comes down to it, as sad as it is, we are supposed to follow Christ no matter what. Mm-hmm. But push comes to shove, if there's a gun to your head, I can see a lot of people breaking, not being able to handle it, you know, complying, tattling out there, hiding Christian friends, a lot of these things we've seen in previous generations, like World War II. And it's going to be a very horrible, sad sad concept to think about.
Well, we never want to be robbed of our blessed hope. That's something that many, many believers cling to. I'm one of them. And to be called an escapist as we were here, well, we're actually truly going to be delivered from this aching planet and before the terrible outpouring of judgment that comes upon it. Let me just sum up by saying I've been spending the hour talking about a new DVD, We Carry It. We carry The Coming Convergence with Cade Hawkins, Pastor Ray Bentley, Doug Hamp, Pastor Tom Hughes, Brent Miller, Pastor Jack Hibbs. I have seen it 3 times because I've shown it to some groups. We're carrying it. It's $20 and $5 shipping. That's in the U.S. anyway. If you want to go to olivetreeviews.org, olivetreeviews.org, and you can call us. It'll be in my forthcoming print and e-newsletter. I do highly recommend it. I've been talking for the hour to writer-producer Brent Miller Jr. Brent Miller Sr. is in the DVD. Brent, thank you for all you do. You've done a wonderful job. That's all I can say.
Thank you so much, Jan. It's really an honor to be on.
Let me go out of the program saying this, that the Bible says all men are sinners, none are righteous. It is why Jesus Christ came, died, but rose again. In order to get right with God, we must first understand what is wrong. The answer is sin. There is no one who does good, not even one. Psalm 14:3, we have rebelled against God's commands. We are like sheep have gone astray. Isaiah 53, being right with God is a matter of your response to what God has done on your behalf. He sent the Savior. He provided the sacrifice to take away your sin. He offers you the promise. Everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Acts 2:21. Call on him today. Become a new creation in Christ. Tomorrow may be too late. I want to thank you for listening, and we'll talk to you next week.
Thank you for joining us for today's Understanding the Times Radio with Jan Markell. We continue to reach the world by reporting current events from a biblical perspective, costing us thousands of dollars. This listener-supported program is delivered each weekend nationwide and into your home. You can help us produce and distribute this broadcast. We invite you to partner with this ministry. With our ever-changing world, men and women of faith need to be aware of current events as reported and discussed through the lens of Scripture. With a blessed hope in view, each week, Jan Markell brings you compelling guest interviews to highlight the dangers in today's world. To become our broadcast partner, please write with your tax-deductible gifts to Olive Tree Ministries, Post Office Box 1452, Maple Grove, Minnesota 55311. You can also help underwrite this program safely and securely at olivetreeviews.org or when you phone 763-559-4444. We're looking forward to hearing from you this week, and please continue to pray for the Olive Tree Ministries team. For daily global updates with a biblical worldview 24 hours a day, log on to olivetreeviews.org. Next week, Jan returns with another program designed to help you understand the times.